Welcome to the Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm here with FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. Good to be back. Is this like year 14 or something?
Year 14. So welcome back to season 2022 with us. This year promises to continue to be chaotic. We've aged like the fine wines we are now from a COVID standpoint, but we've got some brand new rules to help us navigate it. It'll introduce some new strategic lines for us to consider, Mark. And we are probably strategy first as a podcast, especially as we definitely like ruminating on the changes in terms of Supercoach strategy year to year and how we respond to the different nuances that a year can bring. So I'm pretty energized by the new rules. How are you feeling about everything?
Yeah, I like probably having a bit of certainty. Like it was, the last couple of years, it was just so clear that they were going to have to give us extra trades, but it was just you couldn't plan ahead for them. You didn't know when it was going to happen. And now to have a fair idea of what we're going to be facing going forward, they may add some if they really have to, if things get really bad. But this is probably how we're going to have to deal with everything that comes up. I really like that because you can plan around it and you can be strategic with what's on offer.
Yeah. And before we get going on this episode, and we'll be mostly talking about the rule changes, some initial thoughts on how we may approach some of those things, and then have a look at the first pick play on each line, which we like to do as the first show back. After the years that we've spent in this game, we generally ramp up as the preseason goes on.
Oh, sorry. It's a bit like the AFL teams, the older guys, they come back a bit later than the young guys because they've got 14 preseasons under their belt. They've already pretty strong and have the fitness base. So I kind of like to look at it like that.
But before we get going, let's just give a shout out to our Patreons. So anybody who's up for supporting the show, patreon.com/supercoachcoach. Thank you very much to any of the Patreons that will hang on from 21 to season 2022. We are a 100% community funded show. We would have stopped this without the support of our Patreons. So we do want to acknowledge them and their importance to us. We are rethinking a little bit how we're going to structure up Supercoach Coach and how we engage with our Patreons moving forward. So expect a little bit on that. But before we sort of get into that and for our first show back, just thank you for your support. If you're not a Patreon, thank you for listening to us anyway. I don't know if anybody's still listening that was listening 14 years ago, but some of you have been with us for a while. So regardless of being a patron or not, thank you very much for listening to us and being part of our community, interacting with us on social media, giving us support when we're languishing. We seriously wouldn't be here if not for some of that spirit. So yeah, just a thanks before we get started on another season. All right, so let's start by just going through some of the new rules, Mark. What's new in season 2022? The first thing that's being introduced, Mark, I'm just opening up the help and game info section on the Supercoach website. Introducing Trade Boost. In addition to 35 trades, up from 30, being available this season, Trade Boost provides the ultimate flexibility for when you need that extra change to win an important head-to-head matchup or you need to get out of pickle with a late or unexpected out. For up to 5 rounds during the season at your choosing, you can activate a Trade Boost for a third trade or fourth during the bye rounds to use for that round. A Trade Boost can be activated for any round and will come out of your 35 total. It can be activated right through the round all the way up to the start of the last match. It's up to you to choose whether you use all, some, or none of your 5 available Trade Boosts. So very exciting because that introduces a whole new strategic element to the game. When you use this, whether or not you try and use this to up your upgrade cadence during the key sort of upgrade season, whether or not you save it for trades down the line due to COVID. I think probably the more interesting part, and I guess something that we haven't discussed yet, but COVID is obviously going to play a huge role in this season. We have Omicron running rampant everywhere, and we're finally moving into a space where we're going to be seeing our AFL teams, like other sporting leagues around the world have experienced, playing through an endemic situation where fairly pragmatically a decent chunk of your team may get hit by the virus and have to miss games at the last minute. that's going to throw up a lot of chaos, and a lot of the rules have come in to help alleviate some of that pain. It'll be interesting to see how we can use this sort of to a bit more strategic advantage once things settle down, but I expect there'll be some conservatism around keeping some of this to support, I guess, some of that chaos, Mark. But I'm sure we're going to see lots of people with their foot on the accelerator from the get-go. That'll cause some FOMO into sort of feeling like you need to catch up or do the same to keep up pace. How do you see this playing out? How conservative are you sort of thinking you'll be for the trade boost situation?
Yeah, so this is clearly the biggest rule change that we've got. It is interesting that it took 5 minutes for you to get your upgrade cadence catchphrase into the show. I really like this change. I think if they just said, look, you've got 35 trades now instead of 30, enjoy, I don't think that would have worked really well. That would have just made things a bit too easy. We would have all had the same sides by the end of the season. I think our thoughts on this are probably going to have to continue to evolve. Like, as Omicron, potentially the peak comes down a little bit, hopefully there'll be less effects on the AFL. But I'm guessing that this is the first time that they're not going to be operating in a bubble. So I haven't heard that AFL players are going to be staying in a bubble this year. Surely they can't do that for the third year in a row, right? Like, where they make them not be able to socialize with anyone. They have to live their lives. They can't just make them do that for 3 years. So that means that they are going to be exposed in that sense. They are going to potentially catch it. We saw it in the cricket over the summer. I know BBL got, some of the teams got completely smashed by that right at the peak of Omicron wave in Victoria. We had even Paddy Cummins, the night before a test match, goes out for dinner. Someone else in the restaurant has COVID and he misses an entire test match. So that sort of stuff is something that we're likely to face. I'm not sure whether the close contact rule is going to be in play or whether they actually have to test positive. Do you know anything about that?
No, not at this stage, but I assume that we will move more to a position where if you get COVID, you're out, but if you've been exposed, you won't be, because I find it hard to see us working through a season where AFL's a tough game to have to work through this. We've seen this in other sports, and the depth of your list and the depth of the feeder leagues are just a little bit different in other sports. But if you lose your two key position forwards and you already have injuries or whatever else, or you know, they're just really situations where you could just go from being the dominant team to just be like, these guys are maybe just going to lose on bad luck. I think the margins are also razor thin in AFL in that it seems like there's big wins and big losses. But over the last 2 years especially, if a team's off its game a little bit, we can see things swing pretty dramatically, especially with some of the new rules on how fast you can score and things like that. So you've got 22 players. The chance of somebody going down just seems too high for us to, yeah, but pure speculation from me at this stage.
Yeah. Realistically, my first thoughts when we got the trades were they're all going to be for COVID, because this is going to have a huge effect on the season. We do have the luxury in Supercoach where we do have benches, and so I think that the amount of rookies that are available this year compared to last year, so last year was just terrible for rookies, if the rookies this year do show up and you do have two players covering each line at least, that is going to make things a little bit easier, and that is going to give you a bit of more insurance, and maybe you don't have to use so many trades just for COVID. I would love to get into the stage where we're thinking purely about how to use this from just a strategic perspective. Are we going to just upgrade as early as we can, or are we going to use them across the buys or whatever? But I do think we have to be a little bit conservative and think that we're probably going to need two or three of these trades just for COVID.
Yeah, and I'd suggest that that may even be conservative. If we make it through the season, or like I only have to use one COVID trade every 10 rounds, I will be surprised.
Well, I guess at the moment, you've got like once you're diagnosed, you've only got 7 days and then you can get back. So that is a lot different to the past where, like, are you going to be, say your player actually, you have Lachie Neale, comes around three, he gets COVID, but will play the next week. Are you really going to be trading him for that? Like, you'd have to be copping a donut to be trading in that case. It'd have to really be your team is getting smashed. You're getting unlucky. You've got five players out in the same week on the same line or something like that before you're really forced into trading.
I have a feeling that regardless of how you strategize, this season compared to every other season of Supercoach I've played so far is going to be the season that's most determined by good fortune, probably. Even if you don't have to trade to cover a player, like you've got a bench player, if you continually get hit by your premiums, just unfortunately getting COVID and then having to run rookie scores while everybody else is doing fine, that's just going to suck. Yeah, I think pick guys who are probably more resilient. That's probably the only
guys less likely to get COVID.
No, I mean, just get injured normally anyway, right? Because on top of having all these COVID concerns, you don't also want to have a team who are paper thin, and this is probably not the year to try and ride a 34-year-old for a last hurrah sort of thing.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I am pretty excited around the idea of strategically using some of these trades. So even if you still have to use a few for COVID, like you have COVID-specific trades, but if you can get away with that round 5 to 8, not having to use any specifically for COVID-related circumstances, you could actually just max your trades then anyway, just to get that early upgrade. And hopefully that covers any later situations where you might cop a donut or something.
Yeah. I think the real risk is if you go hard and then you end up needing that trade for COVID, but you've wasted the boost, that's probably where you get punished. But to your point, really all it does is thicken the pipe for you to complete your team faster. Once you've completed your team, you don't have that many trades anyway. Having 2 for injuries versus 3 for injuries 1 week's probably not going to punish you as hard. So as long as you don't burn the trades and not have those up your sleeve at the end of the season, I think it'll be rare where it's like, oh, I really needed 3 trades in round 21. It's like, well, make sure you don't burn the trades by the time you get to that round more than it is sort of having 3 available instead of 2. But we'll see.
But realistically, you know how this is going to play out, right? You know it's going to be like the one round of buys where we have the least amount of players available. It's just going to, COVID's just going to smash through the AFL. We're going to have 15 players missing and we're all going to be screaming at different people on Twitter to give us more trades. But yeah, like you said, I think you're right about the luck.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that they could have probably gone to like best 15 instead of best 18, maybe in the bye rounds. That's probably the only additional thing I probably would have liked to see out of this. I think Supercoach is a challenging game to navigate for the average player, and the buys chase a lot of players out of the game.
Yeah.
And still having to manage 18, even with this boost and all that stuff, is pretty hard. That's probably the one element I would have liked to make life easier.
And if you actually think back on timing of reduction in players, it'd be interesting to see the stats. And I'm sure that someone out there actually has them. It would line with the buys coming in. The 3-week buys and the reduction in Supercoach players overall and the average player sticking it out to the end of the season, I reckon there's a pretty strong correlation there because they are really tricky for the average player and they can just really wipe them out and make them not interested and know that they can't chase overall because they do require a lot of extra planning, and it is where the really strong coaches or the people that take this more seriously do get a huge advantage. So we've always been advocating for the casual player because we think that they should be able to come and listen to our podcast once a week, and then that should be enough, and then they can think for 5 minutes and do their team, and that should be able to get them through. But it is pretty tricky with the buys.
All right, next rule, undo changes and the all new trade update. Trade update is your new and unique approach to updating and managing your trades right through and during each round. While you can continue to reverse all changes throughout the week and right up to the first match of the round, you now have all the flexibility to update trades right through the rolling lockout. Here's how it works. If, for example, you completed a trade on Friday evening and traded in a player who doesn't play until Sunday afternoon and is a late out, or you've simply changed your mind, you can simply update the traded in player to another one who is yet to play and within your available salary. So it's essentially saying the lockout's a soft lockout, and you maintain flexibility to keep moving. And in terms of ease of life, you know, we're saying make life easier for a casual player. Hallelujah. What a great improvement. There's no real sense of needing to punish players. I think we'd advocated in the past of just saying, like, lock us out on Friday because it just makes life a little bit easier. But if you don't, then the feel bads of, like, executing your trade and choosing when you do it so you don't forget at the last moment and then getting butt hurt when some of these are laid out, like, this is absolutely fantastic. This will work even if the player you originally traded out has already been locked, with the end result being one net change to your team. It's all at the cost of a single trade. Trade update means that there's no need to navigate complex trade reversals that would rarely work due to traded players or dual trade, dual position moves being involved / locked. If, however, neither of your traded in or out players are locked and you are able to complete a trade in reverse, you will receive your trade back and effectively reverse your trade. So this last bit, it sounds a little bit more complicated, but it's a reflection of the fact that some people worked out a bit of a loophole with the system previously. And that was essentially you could trade a player in, then trade back to the player you traded out, and that reversed your second trade, but not your first trade. And so some people were using it to trade a player in who was not going to play their game, let's say the first round, but buy themselves the flexibility of reversing that decision or trading to another player later on instead of locking themselves to a particular player for the remainder of the round. And all this builds, as I said, we've talked about the complexity to the casual player. So lots of improvements in this space, especially negating the impact of workarounds that are uncovered by Patreon, Twitter communities, and so on. Big improvement, Mark.
Yeah, and then that was just almost like a cheat code that only some people knew, and the developers knew that it existed, but it wasn't public knowledge. And then it became public knowledge sort of in the second half of last year, and it's good that they've done something about that. I'm a massive fan of this being able to reverse your trades through the weekend, and I think that COVID's a good excuse to do it because there is going to be likely more laid outs this year because of COVID. It's just going to be that they're going to have found to be tested positive on the day of the game or whatever it is, and that's going to really cost you and you might have traded into that player. So like you said, I think that my best case situation is actually a Friday lockout. I love that. I miss that feeling of Friday. You just feel super nervous when you press the trades and you just like, there's a big rush of it and you just don't get that anymore. But this is definitely an improvement. I do like the ability to reverse mistakes or keep your options open a little bit more over the weekend. There's been a few times where just the order of games has cost me a lot of points in the past, and this should minimize that happening.
Now, the next thing that they've called out here is the old new trade assist. So this will suit casual players, but essentially there's a bit of an intelligent autofill or lineup optimizer. I saw a bit of noise around this in terms of removing some of the advantage of more experienced coaches, depending on how good the AI is. But as somebody who works in data, I think that's pretty cool. And we're advocates for the casual player. So if somebody's really stuck and has to hit autofill, it's not a big deal to me. We'll move on to the next one.
We are being replaced by robots, though.
Yeah. I love it. All right, next one. Customizable head-to-head leagues. So, yeah, you can just have more flexible league sizes. I think there was a bit of question marks in terms of what that means for league rankings and a bit of a blow-up. Unfortunately, Peter, who's the virtual sports sort of head on Twitter, but I think they're basically going to try and move us towards ranking leagues based on the number of players in a league. So but net result will be a win. And shout out to Pete, who's done a great job getting a mountain of changes through. Somebody who works in technology delivery, I know that that's not always the easiest thing. It's been a big off season for him, so well done to him.
Mark is just making excuses for everyone today. As a league, as someone that's been focused on leagues for a really long time and created like a lot of leagues over the years, I love the fact that you're not stuck having 10 or 18. So if you have 9 people that are really keen, you're not like getting some random into the league or some celebrity or...
Celebrity.
Yeah, there was a period where that was happening. You actually can focus on how many people actually came for the league, and that's totally fair. They're not playing random games against people that might give up or whatever. So massive fan of that. I'm also really interested in the idea of starting leagues mid-season. There definitely may come a time where you can talk a bit of trash with people at work or wherever it is or amongst your mates and go, yeah, all right, then let's start a league, and you can get involved in something like that. So yeah, I love the fact that they've done this, and you're a data nerd. It's not that much extra code to write. I'm glad that they've done this.
Let's move on to player position updates. This one dream teams already previously executed on, but basically player positions will be reviewed at regular intervals during the season, 6, 12, and 18. And dual position status will be assigned to players if their on-field role changes. So Jack Zeebel would have converted from just being a forward to a forward defender. And yeah, we
so
love...
They can't lose their initial position, right? So if they're already a forward, they could become forward defense. Like Zeebel played just defense last year. Realistically, he should have been just a defender, but you don't lose your original.
Yeah, and so it's a big win because basically DPP flexibility contributes to being able to manage the challenges of a season. And I personally get a huge kick out of just flipping players around and having that flexibility, even if it does nothing to my rankings. But I think it's cool. Hopefully it'll help us save a few extra donuts here and there and offer more flexibility for, you know, the cool part is sometimes when you're considering Supercoach strategies and starting strategies, you don't necessarily want to lock an entire line away because you lose the opportunity to bring a premium in that line if they develop through the season, especially if they're a must-have player or supremely discounted player. So let's say you had six forwards already locked in. Zeebel gets that backline dual position status through the season. You now have the flexibility of going, hey, the backline actually kind of sucks. I'm going to move him to the backline and I'll take on this like great bargain in the forward line, or I can bring on the Dangerfield or the Dunkley when he gets back or whatever else. So I also like it from that standpoint that it opens up some flexibility in terms of the premiums that you target on each line and how open you have to stay to reap the opportunities that show up throughout a season.
Do you think you'd be willing to bring in a player in your starting team, like say that they've been talked up as having extra forward time or playing in defense? Would you bring in a player in your starting team based on that information, hoping that they get DPP?
Depending on how strong the narrative is, I guess, and the chance of that falling through. So a move into the midfield, we know, is always challenging. It took Callum Mills 3 or 4 seasons to finally break into there. So you don't count on him necessarily getting midfield status. But when you're looking at somebody permanently shifting, they've talked it up all preseason, there's a chance that obviously it goes awry and they don't end up keeping them in that particular position. But considering they review it at 6, 12, and 18, you basically only need to make it through 5 rounds of them playing a majority. Like, so I think it's not too bad a call. Like Zeebel last year would have seemed obvious in hindsight that he'd eventually get DPP. So I think they're times where moving forward, so maybe, you can make some of those assumptions.
I'm not sure whether he's Supercoach relevant, but the good example for this year might be Mitch McGovern, where they've talked about him going back this year. He's available as a cheap forward. He hasn't scored very well as a forward. Who knows what he's scoring his defense is like. I'm not advocating him as a pick, but someone that you know is going to play defense and all of a sudden after 6 weeks is likely to give you that flexibility to play at either end.
Yep, that's a good shout out for sure. All right, that's a majority of the changes. There's a few other things that's in that article, but probably not needing to reference it from a strategy or serious improvement of quality of life as a Supercoach player. So we'll leave those off and move to the next section where we talk about the first pick play on each line. So why don't we start off in the Rucks, Mark, jumping to that line first, because I think probably less players to pick through there, and it's quite tight competition. So interested to get your thoughts there. You obviously have Grundy, Gorn as the preeminent two for a while now, but then Sean Darcy really came on, and when he was scoring big, hit some out of the park last year. So surely he's got to come into conversation. I know Braden Pruce, people are getting excited about him potentially getting some time as well. So in terms of the players picked so far, you've got Grundy, as of recording, in 36% of teams, Gorn in about the same, Braden in about 30, and Sean Darcy in about 27. So very contentious sort of first pick in the Rucks this year. What do you reckon, Mark?
Well, I messaged my friend when the teams came out, and I said, all right, I've gone Gorn and Darcy. That's what I'm doing. Set and forget. Don't want to talk about it for the rest of the preseason. Let's just leave it at that. And I think I've brought like 5 different other people into my team since then. That conversation still very open in that area. I think at the moment, the only one that has constantly been there has been Sean Darcy. He's probably first picked for me, mainly because of Luke Jackson's role at Melbourne.
That's a tough one. I guess the only question mark with Sean that I'd have is, or Darcy that I have is, I guess just his likelihood of getting injured compared to the others, and with what we've talked about the season so far, maybe the only sort of question mark that I have on him.
I think he got injured like heaps last year, but still played 21 games. Yeah, he would go off. He'd look like he was dead. He'd be on his way to hospital. He'd go, no, turn around, go back, and he'd be back out on the field.
Yeah, I think he played with a somewhat torn ligament in his knee for a little bit throughout last season. So, yeah, he's shown resilience, but the fact that he's likely to get ill, does get injured with that big body so often, still has me a bit worried. Yeah, I'm really struggling with this one. If I was forced to do a first pick at this stage, it would probably be Grundy. But honestly, This is as wide open as I've ever sort of seen. I don't think I'm going to start Gordon. Like, Jackson is a great foil and will continue to impact Gordon's time. And he's one that I'm not as keen on. I'm probably more Darcy versus Grundy at this stage. And Proust is a bit too early to say he's your first locked in, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like the ruck show is going to be exciting by the time we get to it. Plenty to think about and discuss then, but let's not get caught up on that. What's positions next?
Well, I thought we might finish on the midfields because you have those DPPs and you probably end up starting them in the forward or the back line where you have the opportunity to. So why don't we go to the forward line where potentially one of the more sort of obvious picks, Stephen Canelio, 261,000 as a mid forward, is currently in 62% of teams. The next closest is Dunkley in 50%, and then there's a clear gap to anybody else. So Dunkley versus Canelio, and with Canelio sort of presenting that crazy amount of value, at this stage he's definitely first picked in my forward line.
Yeah, I know he's been a bit injured, but he's also been a bit crap for the last couple of years. So I'm not totally sold on the Canelio pick. He'll be in my team, but I'm not like super, super confident. But in a bit of a boring sense, because he is top two selected, I was going to go with Dunkley. So 50% of teams, his upside is too high for his current price. He could be a $700,000 player. He's priced at 550, which is, I think, pretty good value for him. We could talk about how the Doggies have too many good players and how are they going to share the points, but they seem to all score pretty well last year.
Yeah, Dunkley seems like another player that you could easily lock, but that under 300K price range is just
right up your alley.
Just so sweet, yeah. All right, dude, let's go to the back.
Okay, let's do the forward show next then, because there are like six of those guys in the forward line. That might be your whole forward line.
All right, let's go to the back line for our next first pick. Again, I'll just reference the ownership stats. Generally, the community is pretty decent at solving, at least for the first pick, pretty well. So you got Jake Lloyd at 43%, Lockie Whitfield at 41%, Sicily at 32%, Crisp at 26%. So it's probably a lot closer, maybe a little bit less obvious than in the forward line. Who have you got? Does that sort of cover your potential first picks, or will you be going more left field than that?
Yeah, I'm a bit worried that I'm going too cookie cutter at this stage. I have very early on, but I have Lloyd, Whitfield and Sicily all locked in. Out of those, I'd probably have Sicily as the first picked. He was probably the one I looked for the first, and to check his price and just put him into my team. Really good value for his previous performance. I guess that players have had difficulty coming back from an ACL where they've struggled the following year, but I think he was like right to go at the end of last season. He's probably had that little bit of extra time, and yeah, with his upside, I love that price.
I think I'm going to go with Lockie Whitfield, clearly underpriced for his potential after an injury challenged year last year. Sicily, definitely love the value, but the concerns around a return from ACL and his tendency to get suspended anyway probably mean that I'm not rushing to pick him first, even though he's a likely starter in my team. Lockie Whitfield can be a top two within the position and comes at a discount, so definitely like him for my first pick. And unsurprisingly, Stewart is right up in my calculations as well.
Is he going to be all right, though? Like, I know he was unbelievable last year, but what did he do with Liz Frank in, with two rounds to go? Is he going to be fully recovered, do you think?
Yeah, I haven't sort of heard anything from the Geelong media that would have me too concerned, but I guess we'll just see how he goes in the preseason. He was trying to rush back, I guess, for a potential grand final. So I don't think it's anything that we need to be.
How did that pan out for the Cats, mate?
Moving forward. Yeah, okay. All right, let's move faster. Into the midfield, mates, where we've got Lachie Neale as the first or the most highly currently.
Is he in 100?
He's in 50%, actually. Okay. 543,000. He does seem like an absolute steal at that price and his ability to burn you if he has a great season. Jack Steele's the second most, which is a real credit to his game. 685,000, 45% of teams. McRae, the ever-reliable, 700,000, 41.5%. Clayton Oliver, 36%. Sam Walsh, 32% of players after that. Midfield's interesting. I mean, probably because there's Neale, there's not a heap to talk to after that, I would say.
Yeah.
But I think we've entered prior seasons going like, who are the absolute top end and who can sneak in and sneak out. We're kind of at a stage where there's quite a large number of like absolutely reliable guns that are like not just the 115 mark, but the 120 mark. And the guys that we've just listed out, like Neale, Steele, McRae, Oliver, and probably Walsh with his sort of continuing the trend that he's on, I would say that they're the sort of guys that you're either starting with or wanting to get into your team at some stage. And pretty much daylight after that, maybe like Bont with has shown some upside that can get him up into that sort of bracket as well. But they're very obviously the front runners. Is Neale just a lock to you, considering you mentioned he should be maybe in 100%?
I really think that he probably should be. At 543, given his previous seasons and the fact that he has some pretty clear reasons about why he didn't perform last year and has reportedly had a good preseason, like, it's impossible to make an argument why you wouldn't pick him at 543 unless you think he's still carrying some sort of injury. I just think that he's a perma-captain potential option at 543,000. It's just too good of a bargain. So I don't see, unless we get some news out that he's struggling, I don't see many serious teams starting without Lachie Neale, which is, to be honest, it's a little bit disappointing for me because it means that all the teams are going to be a little bit similar. Like, there's a few players on there that are very, very highly picked that we've already discussed today. But like you said, that midfield is going to be a very, very difficult show because there's so many midfield rookies. So you're looking at how many midfield premiums can you start to begin with? Like, is it 3, 4, 5? That's the first question to answer. But then there's so many reliable guns, like you say. Like, my next pick, the player that came in out of that group that is very unlikely to leave my team was Walsh. Like, just up and comer. Yeah. Looks like he's like totally ready to go to that next level if he hasn't already. But then you've got like Steele's ownership is insanely high, and that is not taking someone like McRae or Oliver that are absolute guns. Yeah. Or even Tuk Miller. Like, Tuk Miller looked amazing last year and scored so well. Yeah, there's lots of other sort of mid-price kind of options as well. Midfield's going to be real tough.
I was, going to ask, if not Neale, who's the next? And I thought that would be pretty close, but, similar to you. And I was on the Walsh starting train last year, so I'm definitely a bit of a fanboy. So I'll probably be starting him this year as well, I think. A lot of upside to explore from here. And I like to see that out of all the guns, he's actually sort of last in that list.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't talk him up so much.
actually, don't pick Walsh.
And you know what's going to happen, right? Paddy Cripps, surely, going to return to like 115, 120, guaranteed. We were all over him last year, put in the worst season of his life, and I'm sure that he's ready to go this year.
Mark, guess what his selection numbers are at this as of right now.
Everyone got burned last year. It's less than 3%.
Okay. I would have guessed higher, but so he's in 7% of teams. I thought it might be like 15 or something like that. So we had clearly very different views on that. I guess I'm still a sucker for getting tempted into some value.
What's Rao at? Rao's probably the one that interests me the most in that cheaper price bracket.
Yeah, Rao's in 25% of teams at 343,000. Yeah,
really definitely. Awkwardly priced, but that's a potentially impactful pick.
All right. So that wraps up the two sections that we're going to do for our first episode back. It was great having a chat to you, Mark. Anything else you want to finish the episode with? Any other thoughts while you've come into your draft teams? Any other comments for the season?
No, definitely haven't started draft yet, although really the planning for that one. Keen to get some footy back. When's the first time we get to see some actual footy? I'm a long way from home at the moment and I'm still traveling around Australia, obviously. We're down in southern WA.
3rd of March.
3rd of March. That's a month away. That's a lot longer than we'd normally have to wait around.
It's only going from the 3rd to the 7th of March. So there's only going to be one competitive match due to COVID. And so outside of that, you'll probably see scratch matches in the lead up to it. But in terms of a formal preseason, it's a short one again.
That's going to make things extra tricky for everyone.
All right, bud. Good to get back to the first ep, have a bit of a chat with you. And looking forward to getting more into the preseason. Haven't exactly figured out how we're going to structure the rest of the shows yet. We normally do positional stuff, so I think we've got a bit to think about.
Yeah, couldn't have been more vague, mate.
I just really want to keep the mystery and intrigue around what we're going to do. Anyway, again, thank you to our patrons. Thank you to you, the listener. Please do show us your support on social media and hit a like and a subscribe and everything else. It's always nice to see those things flow through, especially in the preseason. So all the best with picking your teams. Have fun and we'll catch you soon. See ya.
See ya.